It's incredible, isn't it, to think that we're gathered in this place tonight and that we're joining in with the song that has been sung throughout all the generations of people who have come into the presence of God and have begun to worship Him, have declared His goodness, have declared His greatness, have declared His majesty and how He reigns on high forever. It's incredible to think that as we gather in this place, there are millions of others around the world tonight who are gathering alongside us, some in perfect freedom, some in whispers and quietness, wondering if they'll be caught. But we've all come, we've all arrived here with the purpose to encounter our living God, to encounter the one who has made us, to encounter the one who knows us and loves us and has died to save us and wants to call us into life. And it's incredible to think, to me, Clifford prayed this picture of Revelation 4 that is taking place in the courts of heaven right now, that around the courts of heaven, around God's throne, there are peals of thunder, there are flashes of lightning, there are colors that we can't even begin to imagine or comprehend. And in that throne room, there are 24 elders dressed in white robes who are declaring alongside us tonight, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And as they say that, they cast their crowns before Him and they declare that, "God, You are worthy of all glory, of all honor, of all praise because of who You are and because of what You have done." And as they do that, they gather their crowns again, they go back to their thrones themselves, and they repeat this endless cycle that goes on and on and on, even as we gather here, declaring, "God, You are holy. God, You are worthy. God, tonight You deserve every breath. You deserve every praise. You deserve our everything." And the Bible tells us that God is worthy of our worship, that it is right that we should praise Him. It is right that we should come before Him. It is right that we should sing about Him because of who He is, for how He is the Creator, how He is the Maker, how He is slow to anger, how He abounds in love that we can't even begin to imagine, how He's faithful to us, how He is a mighty fortress, a rock, a warrior who gives victory, for how He is an all-sufficient Savior, an all-loving Savior, an all-powerful, death-defeating, grave-conquering Savior that we come before tonight. But you know, the Bible also tells us that God is a promise maker. That from Genesis 3 onwards, when sin and when shame entered into this world and riddled our lives and riddled all of mankind, that God promised He would send one to redeem, that He would send one to save. And the Bible unpacks this whole picture of God as the promise maker, but ultimately of the promise keeper, of how He would send Jesus, of how He did send Jesus, of how Jesus came and did what He said He would do, and how we can stand tonight in the promise of new life and in the promise of being found in Christ, not having an identity in this world, but having an identity in Christ, being adopted sons and daughters with an inheritance in the heavenly places far beyond anything and everything that we could ever imagine. And you know, the passage that we're going to read tonight is one of the most spectacular promises that God has ever made, I believe. One of the most spectacular promises that God speaks over each and every one of us, and something that He offers us. So often, whenever we maybe come to the Old Testament and we come to these passages, we wonder, how are they relevant? How do they apply? How do I read this when it was clearly written for a nation long before Jesus even came into this world? Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians 3, that everything once Jesus came is to be read and understood in the light of the mystery of what Christ has done. And so tonight, we come here and these words and these promises that are spoken are true for us because of what Jesus has done on the cross. This is a promise that is given to you tonight. If you are in Christ, if you have accepted Him as Lord and Savior, this promise is spoken over you. It is declared over you. This is your story. And for those of us who maybe this isn't our story yet, these words are an invitation to you to come and be found in this promise, to come and be found in Christ. So this is the word of the Lord, Zephaniah 3:17. "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Let's read them again. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I don't know about you, but those words are just incredible. And I wonder, whenever you hear them and whenever you read them and you see them on the screen, do you imagine what it must be like to hear God sing? Genesis 1 tells us that God spoke creation into existence with just a word. If he could proclaim galaxies and stars and all manner of life with just a word, what must his singing voice sound like? How must that echo around the courts of heaven? How must that reverberate around the galaxies that we can't even begin to number? And maybe as you imagine his voice, maybe as you imagine what that singing voice would sound like, you picture in your mind a picture of power, of authority, of might, of loudness, of roar. Maybe you picture something like a waterfall of Niagara Falls as the water cascades, billions of liters of water cascade every second and crash and explode into the pool of water at the bottom. Or maybe you think of that still, soft, quiet little trickle of water coming down the mountain. That intimacy, that gentleness. Or maybe for you, that voice of God you imagine is like an earthquake, that you feel it bubbling up and you can sense its power underneath the ground, and then it shoots forth and it explodes in an array of color and heat and power and majesty as it goes into the world around. Maybe that's the power, maybe that's the picture that you imagine of God singing. Or maybe it's as gentle as your cat crawling up on your lap and purring gently and softly. Maybe for you, God's voice is like that hurricane that you see as it sweeps and trees are bending backwards. Or maybe it's as gentle as snow coming in and drifting and falling and lying silently. Maybe that voice of God singing is like the sun, 865,000 miles thick, 1.3 million times bigger than Earth, 1 million degrees centigrade on its coldest surface, forever exploding, constantly just giving out light and heat and a really important, really beautiful kind of fury. Or maybe it's a still, intimate voice of hearing logs crackling on a fire. What must it be like to hear God singing? What could God do as he sings if he spoke creation with just a word? Isaiah says that perhaps a new heavens and a new earth would be made, that the former things would not be remembered or even come into mind anymore, that he would create a new joy. Maybe that's what God's picture of exulting and rejoicing and singing over us looks like. The fulfillment of life, the coming of a new kingdom, a new heavens and a new earth where we experience this and we know this and this is our story, where we know what it is to be a joy. I wonder, can you feel the wonder of thinking tonight as we've read these words, as we've gathered in this place, that God rejoices over you? That as he says in Jeremiah 32, 41, he sings over you with all of his heart and with all of his soul. I wonder, can you feel the wonder and feel the love and feel the warmth of this incredible Savior, this holy, majestic, mighty, all-powerful, larger-than-the-universe Savior, yet one who is so intimate and personal, who rejoices over you with his song? I wonder, can you sense the wonder of that? And yet maybe so often you're perhaps like me and you struggle to hear that and you struggle to believe that. And it sounds like incredible words, but they're maybe for someone else. Or it feels like an empty promise that in the stage of life you find yourself in, you just can't cling to or can't hold to. Or maybe as you've gathered here and you wonder at what this voice of God singing would be like, you would say, no, I can't believe in that. I can't accept that. I can't rejoice in that. I can't be found in that because I am too, what, guilty, too sinful, too shameful, too broken, too burdened, too overcome, to insert whatever word or feeling or emotion seems applicable. How often do we maybe feel like that? And yet I believe that for wherever we feel or however we feel, these words of Zephaniah 3:17, God wants us to hear them and read them and be reminded of them. That no matter your story, no matter where you are right now, no matter what you have been through or what you will go through, that this is God's promise over you. Even before verse 17 and verse 15, God talks about how he has come and he has rid us of our oppressors. And in verse 19, he talks about those who are filled with shame, that shame is turned into praise. And yet here in verse 17, he makes the promise that wherever we find ourselves or however we are, that whether we feel close to him or too far from him, that he, the Lord our God, is in our midst. That he is near. He is present. He is close. He hasn't neglected. He hasn't rejected. He hasn't forsaken you. He hasn't turned his back on you, but he is in your midst. That he is the mighty one who will save. That he is the mighty one with all the power and all the authority and all the capability to save you and lift you up from the pit and lift you from where you find yourself. And wash you and clothe you and give you a new robe and a new story and a new identity. That he is the one tonight who rejoices over you with gladness. He does not look upon you as we would deserve. He doesn't look upon our situations that we find ourselves in, no matter how big or how little, and roll his eyes or disapprove or growl or frown. But he looks on gladly. And he'll quiet you by his love. Or maybe better, with his love, he will not remind you of that former story. He will not remind you of what you used to be. He will not keep bringing the past up. But with his love, he is quiet in sin. And he has roared in victory and roared in triumph. And that is what he wants to speak and longs to speak. As he exults over you with loud singing, his voice isn't soft. As he sings, he declares loudly. I imagine it kind of to be like whenever you're driving and you see someone and you pull up beside them at a set of traffic lights and you can see them singing so loudly and proudly to the radio that they're belting it out. And then your eyes kind of meet, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh no, this is awkward. And they stop singing. And their voice goes quiet. But God continues to sing loudly. He sings loudly over us tonight as we gather in here. His voice over us is loud. His voice over us is pride. And Isaiah gives us this incredible picture of imagining a wedding scene with the groom standing at the front of the church awaiting his bride, and he's nervous and you can feel that, but he begins to look back and then he gets that glimpse of his bride coming up the aisle and he is, wow. They are stunning. They look so pure. They look so beautiful. I love them. And that is how God rejoices over us. He is standing, he is waiting. He has turned himself to us, he has come for us, and he's looking for us, and he wants to declare to us that we are not guilty. He wants to declare to us that he is not far away, that he is close. That his voice for us is love. And so tonight I think that we need to somehow forget the lies and the notions that we have built up often within our minds and within our hearts and within all that we are that says somehow that Jesus and what he has done, he has just squeaked us by the judge. That what he has done for us isn't something just that little bit trivial or that thing that we can begin to forget. But that actually he has done something incredible. that he has spoken an incredible promise over us, that he longs to be a promise that we hold on to in our lives, that we cling to, that we live by, that we would know this promise's truth, that we would know that we are heaven's joy, that we are the Father's joy. And you know, maybe as you hear that, or maybe as we see that, you can begin to think that maybe this belittles God somehow, or to imagine God singing over us so loudly is somewhat undignified, or to feel like this feels like it's too much about me, and God gets all the glory himself, and his name is the one to be glorified. How then can I be this joy? Well, earlier in the book of Zephaniah, he says that those who find refuge in the name of the Lord, this is the promise for them. So for those of us who have found refuge in the name of the Lord, this is the promise for us. For those of us in Jesus, this is promise and truth that we can hold on to. And for those of us not yet, this is the invitation to be found in a promise that can never be broken, can never be shattered, because God is faithful and he does not ever go back in his word. To know a story tonight of a God in your midst, of a Savior in your midst, of sorrow being turned to joy, of shame being turned to freedom, of death being turned into life. And these things don't belittle God or undignify him. Because in Luke 15, we read the incredible story of the prodigal and how God is like that father who runs to the son, puts a ring on his finger, gives him the finest robe, kills the fatted calf, throws a party, and leads the dancing and the singing. And God, as he looks down on us, as he looks down on you, his created child, the one whom he gave Jesus for, it doesn't undignify him to see you find refuge in his name, because he gets glory there. For when we are found in his name, it is his name that gets the glory. And he rejoices over his handiwork. He rejoices over what he has created. He rejoices over us and over you being found in his grand plan of life and forgiveness and love and grace. So tonight, as we sit here, whether we have been following Jesus for years or whether we have never made that step, we invite you to come close and be found in this promise. To know that the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Creator, the Savior, Redeemer, Friend, is in your midst. And he is mighty to save. And he longs to save. And he does not disapprove or look on you with hatred, but with love and with gladness of who you could be, of who you might be in him. He'll quiet you by his love. He'll wipe that slate clean and give you a new start and a new robe and a new story and a brand new future. He'll sing over you loudly because you're his song. And that's a promise that we can hold on to. That's a promise that we can cherish. That tonight, as we have gathered to worship him, that as heaven worships him even now, that right here, right now, he sings over us. And he has come near to us. Let's pray for a minute. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are not just a promise maker, but a promise keeper. And we thank you that this promise is for us. That this promise has been made possible because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross and in the empty tomb. And we thank you, Lord, that Jesus has made a way for us that we can come to you, that we can worship, that we can be in your midst. And we thank you, Lord, for the promise that you are mighty to save, that there is nothing we carry, nothing we hold, nothing within our hearts or within our lives now that is too difficult or too broken or too messed up for you to come and speak your promise and your life and your grace over. We thank you, Lord, that your song over us is loud, that your banner over us is love. And we pray that tonight, Father, you would give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear and the heart to believe and to hold and to cherish to this promise that you've spoken. Lord, I pray that even if we maybe feel that this isn't true for us, that you would simply come and you would break those walls down and you would pour out all that you are, that as you sing over us, you would restore us, you would renew us, you would remind us again and again of how truly wonderful, how beautiful, magnificent you are, how worthy you are, but how mighty a name you have that we could be found. Jesus, continue to minister to us, we pray. Amen.